translation and purport is given grace Abhay Charanaranda Bhakti Vyan Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Please repeat the translation. The powerful Shukracharya was angry for a few moments, but upon being satisfied, he said to Vrishaparva, "My dear king, kindly fulfill the desire of Devayani, for she is my daughter, and in this world, I cannot give her up or neglect her." Purport, please hear. Sometimes a great personality like Shukracharya cannot neglect sons and daughters, for sons and daughters are by nature dependent on their father, and the father has affection for them. Although Shukracharya knew that the quarrel between Devayani and Sharmishta was childish, as Devayani's father, he had to side with his daughter. He did not like to do this, but he was obliged to because of affection. He plainly admitted that although he should not have asked the king for mercy for his daughter, because of affection, he could not avoid doing so. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Transcendental Purport Ki. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangum Langayate Giri Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Shri Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. Namo Vishnu Pada Krishna Pashta Putra Shri Mute Maha Vishnu Samnit Ramani. Namo Vishnu Pada Krishna Pashta Putra Shri Mute Bhakti Vidhan Samnit Ramani. Namaste Sarasvati Parvani Picharani. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the opportunity to glorify Krishna in the midst of all of you. Next, we have some few minutes to discuss about this nice, beautiful verse and this episode. We'll try to discuss, and I would also like to hear from you if you have any nice realizations. You can speak during the class itself. We need not wait till the end of the time, because sometimes it so happens that we run out of time and we don't have any time left for any questions or comments. So you can discuss any time during the class. So this particular chapter is very interesting because it's you all might have heard, because you are probably daily attending these classes regularly. So the chapter starts. The chapter starts with this is special. This episode starts with a group of girls, out of which one is Devyani and the other is Sharmishta. Devyani is the daughter of Shukracharya, and Sharmishta is the daughter of King Rishabharva, and Rishabharva is a disciple of Shukracharya. So as a result, the girls, the Matajis, they were friends. The group of Matajis, they go to take a bath and just fetch water from the lake. And when they reach there, they are playing and they are very nice. They are jolly, playing around with water. And Lord Shiva goes by during that time and in his bull. And immediately the girls, they get, they become shy and they try to wear the clothes, whatever is available. So Sharmishta, who is the daughter of the king, she just by chance, not out of intention, but unintentionally, she just, whatever was there available, she took it, the dress. So it happened to be Devyani's dress. So she just put it on. And when Devyani saw that, she became completely upset and she became angry. Then she starts rebuking her. You are supposed to be like a watchdog. We are Brahmanas. You are in the Kshatriya clan. You are supposed to be not touching my cloth. And how dare you touch it and all that. So Sharmishta, though innocent, she is also being the daughter of a Kshatriya. She also gets angry. So she takes away that cloth. And not only that, she pushes Devyani into the well without any cloth on her body. So she's pretty much out in the inside the well, not able to come out, and not a bit of cloth on her body. And she goes away, Sharmishta goes away. After some time, King Yayati passes by in this hunting thing, and with Krishna's arrangement, he just happens to find that this girl Devyani is inside the well. So seeing her condition, he gives her his upper garment for her to wear, and she comes out, helps her coming out. And when she comes out, they decide to get married. They get, and then she just proposes, and Yayati, though it is supposed to be like the king or the boy should be on a higher caste than the lower caste. It is called this pratiloma anuloma concepts are there in the Vedic culture, Vedic tradition. If you see that, the boy should be of one caste higher than the girl. But here in this case, Devyani is Brahmana and Yayati is Kshatriya. So it so happened that but Devyani said that I will never get a Brahmana because Kacha cursed me. That I will never get a Brahmana boy for my husband. So I think this is an arrangement. We both have liked each other. So better let's get married. Even though it is a pratiloma marriage, it doesn't matter. It's okay. So Yayati, when the girl proposes, it's said that he should not reject as per the Vedic tradition. And then he gives his words and he goes back to his kingdom. And in spite of that, Devyani's insult that she faced from Sharmishta, she could not get rid of that. So she comes crying to Shukracharya, her father, saying that she had pushed me into the well and without clothes. And of course, this is a situation, right? Like the original problem started with Devyani, if you see it that way. Easily, she could have forgiven. I mean, the situation was that suddenly Shiva passed by and all the girls were equally in a precarious situation to put some clothes on. And how does it matter if somebody puts a cloth on, right? So, being immature, she criticized Sharmishta, rebuking in all unkind words. So, she does not relate that fully. I mean, normally that's what happens, right? When we relate a problem, we always go to our protector or our superior with our side of the message. We don't say the whole thing fully, right? So it is always a case when we are not fully honest with ourselves. We don't go and say that I did this mistake and he did this mistake, so you please help me solve this problem, or I have done this part and the situation is like this, can you help me? So it so happened my spiritual master, His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, who is not in this world physically, but he has spent a lot of time here. So once I went to my Guru Maharaj, I asked him, Maharaj, there is two ways I can proceed in a situation. One is, like if I take this path, it's a bit risky. It will yield a better thing, but if it comes out all right. But if it fails, then it will be a problem on my side. I will get into problem. But if the other path, if I take the safe path, then I will not get the benefit, but I will not get the negative reaction also. So I told him, Maharaj, which one should I take? And then first thing he asked is, he didn't tell me the solution. He said, what does your super soul say? I had only heard of super soul from Bhagavad Gita, but I've never heard super soul speaking to me. Okay. So I was wondering, what does he mean by that, really? Then he said, see, how much ever you try to tell me, anybody, they don't give 100%, they don't reveal 100% of the problem, actually. If you reveal the problem, or the your side, everything, the whole problem, 100%, my solution will work 100% for you. If you reveal only 70%, then my solution also will work only 70%, even though I give the best solution. I was really surprised at this thing, and I was true, it was a factual thing, because as we go, the interactions with Guru, our parents, okay, parents are equally Guru, right, in that sense in Vedic culture. So, it is the case most of the time when devotees come and say, my Guru gave us a solution, but it didn't work. It actually means that we have not revealed our heart fully to the Guru. The Guru knows fully. There is no point of Guru and Krishna not knowing us, because they are right inside our hearts. But they want us to show that, take that humble position and go in front of them and reveal the 100% what I did and what is my mistake and fully repent for that mistake and ask for a solution. If that is there, then the solution will work 100%. So this we learn from the first part of the situation here, right? From Devyani, she did not reveal, as it is, they want support. They want support from whoever is their savior, like parents, teacher, whoever, spiritual master. We always go and we say that this person hit me, this person chastised me, this person rebuked me, I didn't do anything. And they know, in heart they know that what is the problem. And they also know that even if they give the solution, we are not ready to follow it 100%. So they will give the solution, but they will have to, all they do is pray to Krishna for us to become more humble. That's pretty much it they can do, and wait for the right time for us to become mature. Right? So, this is one thing we should learn from this episode, that if we go with, Sharmishta can equally go and tell her father, right? The first thing she did was, Devyani did was rebuke her with unkind words, like, you are all families like a dog, you should wait at our feet, you should wait for our command, whatever we say you should do. Being Kshatriyas, like, you remember a similar situation where Parikshit Maharaj was criticized by Shringi, right? How come these watchdogs dare to come and eat in the same plate that we Brahmanas eat, and all these kind of words he used, right, to talk about Parikshit Maharaj. If you see that situation, this is out of immaturity, like taking a position of higher position based on whatever birth you have and things like that. So Devyani doesn't realize that mistake, and Sharmishta is equally, she could have gone to her father and said that she is rebuking by unkind words. Please come and help me, support me. But effectively she didn't do. Even if she had done, Vrishaparva being a Shishya, he is taking that position now, as we read here. He goes and bows down to the feet of Shukracharya. So, in reality, we all are on modes. And because we are in the material modes, we don't realize that Krishna, as the spiritual master, as well as the super soul in the heart, is watching every moment of our action, every thoughts, starting from the thoughts, feelings to leading to actions. Right? So, we have a similar but opposite parent. Similar situation but opposite parent. In Bhagavatam. Can anyone say who is that? You all know. You can relate to it. Similar situation. Devayani feels that she is victimized. Pretty much you go to someone for support when you feel victimized. Right? Sorry? Yeah. Dhruva. When you use the word victimized, automatically we get the name of Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj. Right? What happened to Dhruva Maharaj? At least Dhruva Maharaj was in a better position compared to Devyani. Devyani started the problem, but Dhruva Maharaj was a small child. He just went to his father to jump on his lap, and just like the other child Uttama was doing. There's nothing wrong. Any child wants to go and get into the lap of the father. And as usual, you know all the unkind words that Suruchi spoke. When Suruchi spoke all that, half the thing Dhruva Maharaj couldn't even understand. Like getting into a next birth and you come into my womb in the next, die now and get birth in your next body and as my child, only then you can deserve to sit on the lap of your father and all those things. So he is going and crying, is going to his mother. And when he goes to his mother, what does he ask? He is crying and he is telling, this is what, by the time he could say, go and relate the whole thing, because even if he had tried to relate the whole thing, he could not have, because dying and coming into the womb of the other mother and all, he doesn't know the process of how to do it. So, the maids or others who were around in the palace, they went to and related this to Suniti. And when the child is crying, automatically as a mother, she felt so pained, because one thing is when the child is hurt, no mother can tolerate. And the second thing is that on top of it, Suruchi is trying to, keep her position higher, superior, and she is putting her Suniti down. And the third thing is she can't even go and complain to anybody. Devani at least had a situation where Shukracharya is more powerful, right? And Suniti cannot go and relate this to anybody and get support. If she goes and tells the king what he will do, he doesn't favor her anyway, right? So she knows the complete reality. So knowing this, she gave a complete Krishna conscious solution to Dhruva Maharaj. We will come back to Shukracharya in a bit, but we will try to understand this one shloka, because this is beautiful. If we just follow this one principle, we will never have any problem with anybody or any living entity in this world. You just try to recite this verse together. I will break it into pieces and break it, and we can recite together. Dhirgam shwasanti. Please repeat. Dhirgam shwasanti vrijinasya param apashyati balakamaha bala dirgam shwasanti vrijinasya param apashyati balakamaha bala mamangalam tata pareshu mamsta. This line is the most important line. Mamangalam tata pareshu mamsta bhunte janoyat paraduk kadasta bhunte janoyat paradukkadasta. Very beautiful meaning. We will try to understand the meaning and then we will meditate on it once more. Dhirgam shwasanti. She is leaving a heavy long sigh. You know, when you leave a long sigh, it means like you have just give up. Basically, that's what it means. Dhirgam shwas, shwas, shwasanti. Vrijanasya param apashyati. Vrijanasya param apashyati means she doesn't see the end to this material suffering. Till the end of your life you have to keep suffering. Today you will come back crying that Surichi is chastising you. Tomorrow you will come back and saying someone else is criticizing you. There is no end to this. Somebody beaten you, somebody hit you, somebody scolded you. There is no end to this. Vrijanasya param apashyati. She doesn't see an end to this material sufferings. Balakam aha bala. Balakam means for this child. And bala means helpless lady. Okay. So, balakam aha. She spoke. She only spoke two lines. And this is the universal truth. Ma mangalam tata pareshu mamsta. Ma amangalam. Amangalam. Never think of ill auspicious to anybody. Tata means my dear child. Pareshu mamsta. Pareshu means never think ill of anybody. Never think of anything bad to come to others. Why? She gives the reason for this. Why you should not think bad for anybody? Because bhungte janau yat paradukka dastat. Whatever problem suffering you want others to face, before they face, you will be facing it. Bhungte janau yat. You have to suffer that problem. Even before the others suffer. That is the message that Suniti is giving to Dhruva Maharaj. And he is not in a position to understand all this. This is just 5-year-old child. But this message is for us, isn't it? How many times we feel ill for others, but we ourselves suffer from that whole problem. It's a beautiful word, pitfall, you know. Maharaj used to say a beautiful word, pitfall. If you want somebody to fall into the pit, that is called pitfall, isn't it? He's pitfall. So, you have to dig the pit for other person to fall. Right? Only then he can fall. But the problem is, before even he falls into the pit, you are already in the pit. Right? We are already in the pit. Because to dig, we have to go inside the pit. Don't tell me that I will use a JCB to dig the pit and I will not be inside the pit. This is, not technically speaking, I mean, logically speaking, you are already thinking about that pit. So when you think about that pit, you are already in that pit. So this is what happens for us. We don't understand this lesson. And from Devyani, we have to go to Dhruva Maharaj to understand how to act. From Devyani, we understand how not to act. But from Dhruva Maharaj's mother, we understand how to act. And he accepted that immediately. He said, I want to sit there, but tell me the honest way. And he said, you go and see Krishna. That's it, finished. He saw Krishna in 6 months. And that's the perfect mother. We have this thing, right? Guru na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivam na sasyat, na mochayadya tupeta mrityum. Right? She is a real Janani mother because she gave the path for Dhruva Maharaj to go back to Godhead. Because she was pure in heart. She was completely a pure Bhakta. And that is why just by showing that way to Dhruva Maharaj, she also went back to Godhead. She didn't go and do austerity in the forest. But the austerity she suffered, feeling the pain of her son, is much more than what Dhruva Maharaj faced. It's very painful for a mother to see her child suffering, or the father to see her child suffering. Well, coming back to Shukracharya, I mean, of course, the point that we see from here is that, you know, in this situation, both of them show how not to act, Devyani and Shukracharya. But Shukracharya is giving some messages also in that. Okay, there is a nice, beautiful verse. He is saying that because of affection, I could not give up my daughter's. I cannot stop supporting my daughter because, unfortunately, I am affectionate to her. Now, we can't just argue saying that you just give birth to children and not being affectionate to them. It is senseless, right? It is natural that you have affection. Did Suniti not have any affection for Dhruva Maharaj? No, she had the highest affection. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shishi Rishita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shigaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So can we argue saying that Dhruva Maharaj did not have affection for, Suniti did not have affection for Dhruva Maharaj just because she sent him to the forest? She had so much pain And she was always painful, worried about what will happen to him in the forest. But she had this complete faith in Krishna that my child, being so honest and sincere, he will be given protection by Krishna. And she is praying for the protection. And she can do nothing else. She can't leave and go to the forest and stay with Gudru Maharaj, feeding him prasadam, cooking prasadam for him and feeding him. Right? Will she be able to do that? That will be another problem, because Dhruva Maharaj, instead of meditating, he has to take care of his mother. If some tiger or lion or something comes, Suniti will not have any protection will not be able to protect herself. So Dhruva Maharaj will be like 1 hour meditating and then seeing whether mother is alive and all those kind of things, right? Like Lord Ram, when she had to go with Sita, when he went to the forest, that's if he had gone alone, Ravana would not have come and kidnapped him. Right? So all these challenges are there. So we can't just go with, well, what if this can be done, this could have been done, what if that could have been done. It don't work. Anyway, so coming back to this thing, Shukracharya had attachment, mixed affection. You can have affection, but if you have attachment, then it is a problem. Like Dhritarashtra having for Duryodhan. You start being led by them, instead of leading them. And that is a big dangerous situation. Like, the whole Mahabharata is because of that attachment, right? What does he say? The very first shloka, right? Dhritarashtra Uvacha. What is that? Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha. Up to this point, he was Krishna conscious. Up to this line, he was Krishna conscious. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Krishna was looking at the text exam paper, you know, and put tick mark for the first line. And then the second line came, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha, with a desire to fight, they got together. Third line, Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva, finished. Kimmakurvata Sanjaya. That's the reason Dhritarashtra spoke only one verse in the entire Bhagavad Gita. After the first verse, he was a failure. If he had spoken properly, Kaurava, Pandava, Shaiva, then he could have spoken a few more verses later in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamaka, Pandava means my sons and Pandu's sons. There itself that attachment comes and Krishna finished the whole thing. So, this is what happens. Like, Shukracharya also had the same thing, that my daughter, so I have to be showing some affection for her, so I have to support her. There is a beautiful verse in Niti Shastra. Please repeat this, huh? Lalane bahavo doshas, tadane bahavo gunah, tasmat pitram cha shishyam cha, tadayen natu lalayet. Tadayen means being strict. Lalayet means pampering. Okay? So, lalane bahava doshas, by pampering too much, they get lot of bad qualities, with both disciple and child. There is no difference between these two, practically speaking. So, tadane bahava gunaha, by being strict, they get more good qualities, they absorb more good qualities, because they get purified, right? Tasmat putramscha shishyamcha, that therefore, whether it is putra or shishya, son or daughter or whatever, and disciple, tadayan natulalayet, always be strict with them, don't be too pampering. We have the best example, there are so many examples, but one of the best examples we can understand even from our movement, Prabhupada, Surabhi Maharaj, he was building the Vrindavan temple, right? Prabhupada was so strict with him, so strict that Surabhi Maharaj, just drop everything and leave. And he was always asking, why this is not right? Why that is not right? Where is this? Where is this? When the temple is opening? How many stones have come? How many? How much of steel has come? Where are the laborers? Why this clock is not ringing on time? Somebody has to go and hit the bell every 1 hour, right? If somebody is not ringing it, he will say, this is a problem. We are not Krishna conscious. So strict Prabhupada was. And at the end of the opening, the whole program was so beautifully completed, arranged and completed, and then when the devotees walked around, they all glorified Surabhi Maharaj like anything. They are just told, you know, he is such a, such a nice, beautiful thing. And then Prabhupada says, that is the problem, you know. Everybody is glorifying Surabhi, but I am the only one chastising him. Why is this? Why is this not right? Why is that not right? But that is my duty. If I don't do that, this would not have happened. People might be thinking I am being too fanatical, but that is not right. Being strict, that is what chastisement means, right? Like, chastisement is a beautiful word. Chastise. Like you say, want to magnetize somebody, something, you need magnet, and you keep the iron piece with the magnet, it becomes magnetized, right? So if you want to make somebody as chaste, you have to chastise. We all want to become chaste, right? So we that's why it's called chastise. That word chastisement is a very beautiful word. It's not rebuking or scolding, or it is chastise. So you have to chastise. You want to make somebody chaste, you have to chastise. But don't take this as a message and go around and chastise everybody around, because only a magnet can magnetize another thing. So only a chaste person can chastise another person. So we have to become chaste first. Then we can chastise others. Right? Prabhupada was chaste. That's why he was able to chastise, and they were able to get the message in the right way. If I go around and chastise everybody, then I will be like not even chanting in the next few days. Offense of Vaishnavas, right? The first thing, blaspheme a devotee's first offense. So the whole point is, we have to understand these messages in the whole in the holistic situation, right? So first thing is, we have to be in the right way. We have to take the situation and guide whether they are, whoever is our dependents. And Shukracharya here, though he knows that Devyani is wrong, still he had to go and talk to Rishabharva, right? So let's get back to Rishabharva, because there is some good things to learn from Rishabharva as well. This translation, that verse 26 is very beautiful. King Rishabharva understood that Shukracharya was coming to chastise or curse him. Consequently, before Shukracharya came to his house, Rishabharva went out and fell down in the street at the feet of his guru and satisfied him, checking his wrath. He could have as well said, Guru, you are all right, I am your disciple, but don't you think you have to be balanced in your approach? Do you think you should first of all ask what Devyani did? You should hear both sides, isn't it? Sarmishta did not throw her into the well just for no reason. He could have done all those things, because he was also on the right side if you want to justify his position. But he didn't do all that. He just went. He understood that Shukracharya was coming to chastise or curse him. So before Shukracharya came to his house, he ran out and on the street, basically. This is a beautiful point. He was not waiting for Shukracharya to come to his home, ring the bell, and then, yes, please tell me what you want me to do. tell me what is the situation. Okay, I will analyze and let you know. No, not or if you want, I can follow it. No, he just ran to the street. That shows one's humility. He could have done all these things because he was on the right side. If we had to argue that way. Right? But he just ran to the street. And when somebody, the only way, this shows a very interesting thing, because when we are anger, Maharaj used to say a beautiful thing, that when we are anger, we are just one letter short of danger. Danger and anger. We create danger to ourselves and we create danger to everyone else. Destruction. There is nothing you can do if you are angry other than destruction. There is no auspiciousness that will come out of it. Of course, few like Hanuman and Parashuram, we can say all that, but we are not on that level, so we don't need to meditate on them. Right? So, anger, when somebody is angry, the only way we can resolve that situation is by being humble. If you are going to, Rishabharva, if he had shouted, what would have happened? Shukracharya would have burnt him to ashes right at that moment. Right? And the situations, if you want to solve some situations, the best thing is to be humble. And especially in front of a powerful person. Humble does not mean that, you accept whatever they say, but what Rishabharva is doing here is a very important thing for us to take the lesson, because we have to accept. There is another situation also. We should stop at 8:30, right? Okay. There is another situation also when the demons and devotees are trying to churn thing, right? Before the churning thing comes, the demons actually, they are powerful. And the demigods, they have to take shelter of Krishna. Krishna could have come to their support and said, okay, come, I will go and fight the demons for you. But what did he do? He said, kalam tavat pratikshata, means this time is not suitable for you right now. So please wait. Whatever the other person is asking for, simply accept. By peace and, he says two P's actually, peace and patience. By peacefulness and patience, everything is achieved. By anger, nothing is achieved. By anger and agitation, remember those two A's and two P's. By anger and agitation, nothing can be achieved. By peacefulness and patience, everything can be achieved. Right now the time is not on your side. Be peaceful and be patient. Accept whatever the demands are, the demands that they are making. I will support you at the right time. This is the message that Krishna is also giving. So Vrishabharva is pretty much following the similar thing, right? So he says, let me just surrender to him, because I know gurus, he might be coming angry with anger. This is the only way to solve this problem. So, whenever somebody is angry, the only way we can solve that problem is by approaching them in a soft way, in a humble way. Humble means not just just going and touch, falling and not doing nothing, but being soft, being not shouting in counteraction to them. Right? There is a beautiful thing that no counteraction is the best counteraction. If you don't counteract, that is the best counteraction you can do. Right? So, this is the second point that we should learn from Vrishabharva. He satisfied, and because he was so soft, even though Shukracharya came with so much anger, he immediately got pacified. His anger came down, he cooled down. And then he realized his own position. He realized his own position. The thing is, when somebody is angry, you just have to let them out all this anger. And when that anger is out, then automatically they will completely become repentant. This is the thing that we get out of it. Like in case of Daksha cursing Narad Muni. He was standing there. Daksha kept cursing and cursing and cursing. Narad Muni stood there and accepted everything. And then he just went away. Why he did it? Because he said that this anger, when it is all let out, then he will start feeling repentant for whatever he has done. If he is, until then, he was actually holding it in his heart. My 10,000 sons you took away, 20,000 sons you took away, what do you mean? Is there any sense in what you are doing? Mischief monger, rascal, everything he was using. If you want to find all the bad words to scold somebody, Bhagavatam is the best place, you know. You find all these, watchdogs, all these kind of words are coming here. So anyway, that is the second point. And the last point before we close, you have to understand one thing, that, any time we go and ask for something from others, we lose our dignity. We lose our position. Now, Shukracharya, being the guru, he is telling this, kindly fulfill the desires of Devyani, for she is my daughter, and in this world I cannot give her up or neglect her. He is asking for the disciple to satisfy Devyani. Now, this position is not a good position to be in, because depending on somebody, then it means that you cannot command yourself anymore in front of them, right? So there is a beautiful verse, in Bhagavatam there is a beautiful verse, and also there is another beautiful verse that is very practical for us to follow. Because when we don't beg from anybody, then automatically we are in a better position. Automatically Krishna will give. That is why he is criticizing his own position of priesthood. Priesthood means I am doing something and they have to give something for me. So he is, in the previous verses, he is appreciating the Unchavritti, where I am not begging from anybody but going and collecting like a bird wherever something is available. I would have as well taken that position. So this verse is beautiful. Huh? Even we can practically follow that in our day-to-day life. Re re chataka savadana manasa. Mitrakshanam shruyatam అంబోదా బహవో వసంతి గగనే సర్వేపి నైకాదృశా కేచిద్ వృష్టి విరాద్రయంతి ధరణి గర్జంతి కేచిద్ వృతాః యం యం పశ్యతి తస్య తస్య పురతో మా బ్రూహి దీనం వచః. ఇట్స్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ దిస్ ఇస్ టెలింగ్ టు ద చాతక బర్డ్. చాతక ఇస్ అ బర్డ్ విచ్ ఇస్ డ్రింక్స్ వాటర్ రెయిన్ వాటర్ దట్ టు ఓన్లీ ఆన్ ద డే ఆఫ్ స్వాతి నక్షత్ర డే. Even if it is put into the Ganges water, it will go up with his mouth like this, waiting for the rain to fall on the Swati Nakshatra day. So he is telling to the Chataka bird, Savadana Manasa, please listen to me with patience. You are my friend, so I am telling you this. Ambodha Bahava Vasanti Gagane. He is depending on the rainwater. So he has to depend on all the clouds. Ambodha Bahava Vasanti Gagane means there are so many clouds that is going on the sky. But sarvepi naikadrishaha, don't look at every cloud and open your mouth. Why? Because kechid vrishtibir ardrayanti dharani, some of them will be like just wetting the earth and stop. Garjanti kechid vritaha, some of them will just make huge noise, but no water will come. We go and ask for Lakshmi from different people, right? Someone will say, I will do this, I will do that. So many things, but nothing will come out of their pocket, you know. Right? Or you say, some of them will say, I will give, you know, 100,000 pounds, and they will go and put 10 pounds in the, you know, dan peti and go away. So that is what it happens. They just wet the ground and go away. Sarve pi naikadrishah. Then last line he says, yam yam pashyati tasya tasya purato, whatever thing that comes, don't మా బ్రూహి దీనం వచగా. నెవర్ గో అండ్ షో యువర్ హ్యాండ్ లైక్ దిస్ అండ్ ఆస్కింగ్ ఫర్ దీనం వచగా, ఐ వాంట్ సంథింగ్ ప్లీజ్ గివ్ మీ. నెవర్ అటర్ దిస్ వర్డ్ లైక్ దిస్, దెన్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ట్రబుల్. అస్ సూన్ అస్ యూ అటర్ దట్ వర్డ్, యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ట్రబుల్. సో శుక్రాచార్య కుడ్ హావ్ ఫాలోడ్ దట్ అండ్ సెడ్ దట్ నో ఐ షుడ్ నాట్ ఆస్క్ అండ్ దట్ టూ ఫ్రమ్ ఎ డిసైపుల్ వై ఐ షుడ్ ఆస్క్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ ఆస్కింగ్ ఫర్ ఎ రాంగ్ థింగ్. So this is a practical thing, and there is a beautiful thing comes, I will close with this. There is a beautiful thing that happens in between the demigods and Dadichi. Because the demigods, without any shame, they go and ask for the body of Dadichi, because that is the only way they can, the backbone of Dadichi, right? That is the only way they can get that Narayana Kavacha shield. And so Dadichi is testing them. Sir, don't you think body is the most dear to anyone, and you are asking for my body? And then they are telling this verse to them, you know, like Noonam Swartha Paro Loko. Please repeat this, with this we close. Noonam Swartha Paro Loko Naveda Parasankatam Yadi Veda Nayacheta Neti Naha Yadi Ishwaraha. Prabhupada is so frustrated with these, upset with these people, that swartha para word is translating the word to word as those who are interested only in sense gratification, both in this life and in the next life. He didn't leave the next life also. So he's so upset with these people. Noonam swartha para loko means they are so much attached to their own sense gratification. Na veda para sankatam, they don't understand the pains of others. Yadi vedana yacheta neti naha yadi ishwaraha. Beggar, if he knows the position of the giver, he will not go and ask for him. He should understand that he is also in a painful position. And the person who is able to give, if he understands the position of the beggar, before even the person comes to beg, he should be giving whatever he is asking for. So this is the message of this verse. It's universally applicable. If you just follow this verse, you will not have any problem with any living entity. And you can see that Shukracharya didn't follow this verse, but Vishwaparva followed this verse. Right? He knew that he is coming for something, I have to give before even. That's why he ran to the street. And somehow or other cooled him and said, whatever you say, I will agree. And somehow the whole problems are solved. We'll stop here. Sorry, I ran out a few minutes. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.